Back in the days when kids traveled on trains to get somewhere with their parents, they didn't charge for kids that were 5 years old or under. And so the six-year-old young man was told by his mother as they were carrying their bags to the train, "Tell them you're five." The little boy frowned and he got on the train and he sat down. The conductor came by and said, "Son, how old are you?" And the young fellow says, five. So he didn't pay anything for his fare. His mother paid her fare, and the conductor left. In a few moments, the conductor came back in a couple hours later and just to talk to him. He rubbed his hand in the little fellow's hair and said, "Well, how are you getting along?" The boy answered, "Really good." The conductor continued their chat and finally said, "Let's see, when are you going to be 6 years old?" The little boy looked at him and said, "About the time I get off this train, I'll be six." Truth is a wonderful thing. It's an element of our life that unfortunately in our world there's very little of sometimes. Our governments, our politicians, our companies, our businesses, it seems like they are built upon deception and built upon those things that really have no bearing or merit of truth in them at all. And unfortunately, it is sad, sad, sad. Unfortunately, our world is based upon lies and deception, and it should not surprise any of us as we know that the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, is the father of all lies. And friends, the devil is the accuser of the believers who are in Christ, and everything the devil sets up is all upon lies. We could look at Genesis chapter 3, and we could see the first deception of Adam and Eve was the deception of God's truth. It was a twisting of the word of God. We could look at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus being tempted by the devil, and it was the devil twisting the truth of God's word. Everything the devil does in this world is wholly based upon a system of lies, deceit, and falsehood, because the entire world system is truly under the sway of the evil one. This morning, I want us to understand that lying includes much more than simply telling something that is false. We've been proceeding through this series. Last week, I was not here, but the series of life with one another. And this morning, we want to deal with how we are to speak with one another. And friends, we're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, that we need to put away all falsehood and speak truth with one another. And I want us to understand that lying includes much more than simply telling something that it is false. It includes exaggeration, adding falsehood to that which starts as true. It includes cheating in school and on income taxes, which are also forms of lying. We could include making foolish promises or betraying a confidence, flattery, and making excuses as all being forms of telling a lie. You see, when we begin to see what lying is and what our world is based upon, we really can begin to see the real problem. And the problem is that much of our world is based upon creating a superficial image for others to see. I think of Bernie Madoff, Ponzi schemes, you know, just the fluff, so that everybody thinks that something is there that it's really not there. It's just this superficial image so that we can convince others that it is something that is really not. It doesn't seem to matter if the image is of an individual or a corporation or even a government. The intention is still there, and the intention is to deceive others into thinking reality is actually something else other than what it actually is. The Apostle Paul speaks to the believer's responsibility in regards to lying and deceit in our text this morning. I want us all to understand the apostle was writing to the church at Ephesus. Timothy, Paul's understudy of sorts, went to the church at Ephesus to set things in order. And this church was the very church which Jesus stated that they had been doing many good things. They had the appearance of a healthy church. They had the appearance of things were right in there. But if we were to look at Revelation chapter 3, we would see that he says, "But I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Yes, you have been doing many things, but they had lost their love of Christ, their first love. And I want that to sink into all of our hearts, that this church at Ephesus lost their first love. They lost the reason for what they were doing and why they were doing it. They lost those things that were the motivating factors of why they served those who were in need, why they reached out to the community that they were in. And they began to just simply do things for the sheer act of doing them. They created a superficial image for the community that showed that things were all right, and in all reality, things were all wrong. Their love for Jesus that they had, it had left and departed to be about actions and activities for that church and other things of the sorts. Friends, to put it succinctly, they had left the truth. We can remember that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When we lose and leave our first love, we leave the truth and we leave the life. This is a situation the Apostle Paul was speaking into and seeking to correct. Paul is trying to get this church to come to the truth, to not deceive others by what is being done, but to be about the truth. Our text this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 20 through 25. And follow along as we read Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 25. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old person which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Listen to verse 25. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another." I believe there's three things that we can learn from this passage. And the first thing is that speaking truth to one another is foundational to the building of the body of Christ. You see, without truth, there will never be any building of the church. Without truth, there will never be any growth. Without truth being spoken, there will never be any unity within Christ's body, the church. Without truth, there will never be any health within the church. There will never be any love. I want us to remember an encounter that Jesus had with a rich man. Listen to the account from the Gospel of Mark. It's found in Mark 10, verses 17 through 21. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and then spoke to him." I want you to hear that. "And Jesus looked at this man who was seeking to know what he needed to do in order to inherit salvation. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And now listen to the words that Jesus spoke to him. And he said, 'One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" You see, friends, Jesus loved this man enough to tell him the truth. I want that to sink in. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. And quite frankly, in our world, we get so inundated with the way the world operates that we bring it into the church and we fail to speak the hard truths to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it may not be so. If we're going to build the body of Christ, if we're going to build the church, which is the bride of Christ, you see, the scripture says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and then spoke." Later on in this passage, we're told that this man went away sad because he decided not to follow Jesus. The fact remains that Jesus told him the hard truth because he loved him. I want us to understand what is at stake here, and what is at stake is the building up of the body of Christ, which is the church. You see, the only way the body of Christ, the believers, brothers and sisters in the faith of Jesus Christ, will ever be built up is when truth abounds more and more. And friends, this is foundational. This is essential. This is absolutely critical for the building of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke it earlier in the same chapter, chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, in verses 15 and 16, of two essentials that are needed to build the body of Christ. Listen to these two verses. Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." You see, part of the elements which are required for the body of Christ to grow is the church to grow is an environment of love and truth. You see, Jesus looked at the man and he loved him, and then he spoke truth to him. That man opted not to follow him, but that environment was there. You see, when you and I speak truth to one another, it's not simply speaking to each other, but it's a building activity. When we speak into the life and the heart and the souls of those brothers and sisters in Christ that we love. And it's a building activity when our speech is done in truth and in love. The results will always be a body of believers, the church that is strong in Christ, and the church that radiates love. And I want you to hear that again. The result will always be a body of believers, a body of brothers and sisters in Christ, a church that is strong in Jesus Christ, and a church that radiates love. Because we love one another so much that we will share the difficult things. We will say the hard things to say, and we will find no joy in it. But we love enough to speak it, and therefore we can't simply just let it go by. I want you to notice the connection between love and speaking the truth. If we love others, we will speak truth. If we fail to love others, then we will mask the truth. Bernie Madoff. He didn't love anybody. He masked the truth. All these corporate scandals, they don't love anybody. They mask the truth. Far it be so in our church community, in our church fellowship, that we should not mask the truth. We should love each other so much that we speak truth in love. And there has always been and there always will be much made and spoken about love within the church. Yet it seems to me there's very little spoken about truth. And if we as Trinity United Methodist Church are to continue to grow with one another, we must speak truth to one another in love for each other. The second thing we can learn from this passage of chapter 4 is that speaking truth is a mutual endeavor with each other. And if you got your Bible, I would just have you circle the word "with." And there's a reason for that, because Paul didn't use the word "to." And many times in our little worlds, we think that I have to speak truth to another person, and it's all up to me to correct what is wrong. No, it's a mutual endeavor. It's not a unilateral element. Speaking with indicates that we are allowing ourselves to be open up to receiving truth spoken into our lives as well. If the Apostle Paul would have said, "speaking to one another," that would have been indicative that we speak only in one way. But it's a mutual endeavor. We all need to be open to allowing truth to be spoken into our hearts, lives, and souls. It is a mutual endeavor. We're not called to be on this mission or crusade of speaking truth to everyone about everything. Being truthful does not mean we cannot keep a confidence or we must have a tell-all policy. But what it does mean is that we are open to others speaking truth into our lives, as well as understanding the responsibility that we have to speak truth to others. I must say, as many times that I have been called to speak truth into the lives of others, there is absolutely no joy in the act of speaking that truth to them, especially when they're living in sin or have fallen away from the faith in Christ. The joy occurs when they turn around and seek God once again. And friends, speaking truth is a very difficult endeavor, but it's a necessary and must be a mutual endeavor, since as Paul writes, we are all members one of the other. The third thing we can learn from this passage is that speaking truth will always be unifying. I'm not sure you're aware, but the Scriptures speak of God the Father as being the God of all truth. And Jesus himself called himself, and time again, the Scriptures attest that Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is referenced as the Spirit of truth. The reality will always be that when we speak truth to one another, we will be unified because we will be aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God and the God of truth. Friends, God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Everything about the Lord's kingdom is based upon truth. Truth about the desperate condition of people and their sinfulness. Truth about the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth about God's character. Truth about the requirements for worshiping the Lord. And yes, there are requirements to worshiping God properly. Namely, we must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth about God's desires for you and for me. And the list could go on and on and on. You see, God's power is in the truth. And when you and I, we choose to walk in the truth just as Jesus is truth, we align ourselves with him and begin to build the body of believers. We open ourselves for the mutual speaking of truth into our lives and the lives of others. And lastly, speaking truth will always unite us as we will be aligning ourselves with the power of the kingdom of heaven. The power of the God of truth, our Heavenly Father, the power of Christ, and the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Before I close this morning, the truth of the matter is that we have a unique privilege. We have an awesome opportunity that no one else who ever lives or who has ever lived will ever have. And the truth remains, it's what we will do with that privilege and that opportunity and that responsibility. And that privilege and that awesome opportunity is to be able to live in this day that no one else that has ever lived, nor anyone else who will ever live, will ever get the opportunity to live in this day. And the truth of the matter is, we have a wonderful opportunity and privilege to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the village of Gibsonburg, with the surrounding Northwest Ohio communities, with the region of America, and with the countries in this world. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome opportunity. No one else will ever have the same opportunity that you and I have this day. No one else will come across the people here in this village that you and I will come across today. The truth of the matter is that God foreordained, even before he created the heavens and the earth and the world, that you should come across some people, that I should come across their paths, and that we would be the light of the world and we would be the salt of the earth. Friends, that's why Trinity is here. That's why Trinity United Methodist Church is in the village of Gibsonburg. Many of you I've shared with over this past week that I had a wonderful week vacation. The downer came a week ago today. When I was out to eat with my mom and my dad, and there were some individuals in another booth, and I won't mention names because I believe this is probably being recorded, but the scenario went like this. An individual came by and looked at my mom and said, "Hey, you are Teresa Kibler. Kibler is my mom's maiden name." Come to find out that they went to the same church that my mom grew up in, that I grew up in. I was at this church until I was about 9 years old. The church facilities are phenomenal. I remember that church being 500-600 people full. And then the three individuals in the booth behind me, they turned around and they looked at me and they said, "We're trying to figure out what we're going to do." I said, "What do you mean? After you eat? What do you mean, what are you going to do?" "No, we're down to 60 people. We've been having fish fries for the last 5 years or so and paying our bills, but now we're too old and we can't have the fish fries, and we don't know how we're going to pay our bills. I looked at this individual and I said, how long? And then I mentioned the name of the church. I was in the junior choir in this church. I was in the handbell choir in this church. I said, how long has this church been there? 100 years? Nope, 115. You see, the message of truth is a message that we all carry, you and me, each and every day. And it's a unique responsibility that sometimes I think we see it as a burden, when all reality, it's a unique privilege and awesome responsibility and opportunity to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. What an incredible opportunity to live in this day, to be a servant of Christ our King, to come across people that no one else will ever have the opportunity to come across, to speak words of truth into their heart and soul and mind, to offer that kind gesture so that they recognize there's something different about you and me. There's something different for the hope that exists within all of us. There's something different about the way we order our lives to have the opportunity to be the carriers of the gospel of Christ. You see, friends, that's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is yeah, the world's messed up, but we have the answer. We have the hope. We have the reason to be joyful. We have the reason to get up in the morning to serve a God who loves you and loves me. We have the reason to take one more step in front of the other because we have brothers and sisters in Christ who love us. The world doesn't know that. We have the opportunity to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to be a part of the redemption of people. And I want you to hear that. God redeeming and buying back people from the depths and the throes of sin, a life of hopelessness, a life of just despair. What incredible opportunity. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. This is my passion. This is exciting to me because this is why God has called you and me. He's called us out of this world to be His light, to be the light of Christ in this world. What a tremendous privilege. And friends, that is the truth of the matter. And so as we go forward, I don't want anybody to be down in the mouth and short in sight. I want people to be smiling. We have hope. The world doesn't. We have joy. The world doesn't. We have love because God poured His love into our hearts even when we did not have love. We have the things that are of God, the things that are of heavens, the things that are of eternity because we have Christ our King. And friends, what an opportunity. What a privilege. That God has called you and He's called me to live in this day for His glory. Friends, that's the truth of the matter. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know, you know, you might be beaten down by the world, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still reigning. He's still ruling. He's still the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's still the eternal I am. He's the first and the last and the Alpha and the Omega. He is the all in all. And if you're lacking in hope, maybe we all need to look to Him who is the God of all hope. And that's the truth. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your hope. We thank You for Your love and Your peace and Your truth. Father, we thank You for this wonderful opportunity just to serve You, to walk with You this day, where no one else who has ever lived before or will live after will have the same opportunity to be witnesses of Your truth, to serve You in the ways You've called us to serve You, to share the truth and love to those that we come across. Father God, may we understand the element of truth. May our church here at Trinity, the congregation, the body of Christ, Your bride, may we be saturated with Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is truth. We thank You, Jesus, that You want us to be made holy by Your truth, which is Your word. Father, may we not shy away, but as you lead, may we be bold and courageous enough to speak words of truth into the hearts, souls, and lives of those that you bring across our path. Lord, may we truly walk with you and align ourselves with your kingdom to be influenced by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And God the Father, the God of all truth, our Lord, we love you and we thank you. And what a wonderful opportunity. How exciting it is to walk in this day. And if you choose to bless us with another day, to walk in that day as well. And to walk with you, to walk in truth. May you give us the strength. May you give us the peace. May you give us the courage to be all about what you want us to be. And that is your truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth of righteousness, the truth of peace, and the truth of your forgiveness. May we truly be agents of your truth, O Christ. And may we call others back from the superficial, from just putting on a facade. And may we live our lives and worship you in all that we have and in the truth of you and your word. We thank you, Jesus, and we love you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Now may the God of all truth bless you and keep you and allow you to walk in his truth. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.